morning, brothers and sisters. Let's start with the scripture reading. And today, the passage I will share with you is from Gospel Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Let's read the passage. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? In the law, how do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who strapped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and as he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to share your word. We pray for your mercy to cover your pulpit. And I pray for you prepare for our heart. Your Holy Spirit lead us into your truth. Pray for your power, your spirit to change, to renew, continue to renew our mind, our heart, and lead us to love you more and know you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and the peace from God our Father. This is the first time I preach to you, the English-speaking congregation. Last Friday, Pastor Arthur asked me, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "I'm happy. I'm not nervous." But this morning, Pastor Arthur shared a passage to us that to be an authentic Christian. So I need to tell you, yes, I'm nervous. let's come to a point. Some of us, before come to a point, I need to acknowledge that English is not my native language, so please just forgive my baby English. And some of us are immigrants who moved from mainland China to the United States. And some of you are born here. And why? Because we want to have a better environment and a better education condition and have better neighborhood. In ancient China, here is a famous philosopher called Mencius, or in Chinese called Mengzi. His mother moved 3 times in order to choose a good environment to educate her children. This is a famous story in Chinese culture. So we want to improve the quality of life by choosing our environment and by choosing our neighbors. But how about Christian? We are not only shaped or influenced by our environment or our neighbors. We have eternal life. So God also called us to be the salt and the light and to shape or to influence our neighbor, our environment. Because I have eternal life. But what is eternal life? Does it mean that eternal life means we have the best environment, or we have the best neighbors, or we have the best activity all the time? For example, for me, like eternal life means I can read a book all the day, and some of you maybe play basketball all the day or playing games all the day. Is that the eternal life or something else? So let's look at this passage of Scripture. I will share with you from 3 points. Firstly, what is eternal life? And second, whose neighbor am I? And finally, the third one, how should we respond? The first point, what is eternal life? When we come to the passage, the lawyer put Jesus to test. So let's think about this. Why did the lawyer put Jesus to test? The lawyer in the New Testament refers to those who are expert of law. They know everything about the law. And his motivation is to examine Jesus Christ. Does this man deviate from the OT tradition, or this man challenge his authority to teach about the law? Likewise, we often put God to test today. We test God by asking him to satisfy our own requirement. So the lawyer's first question is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Do you think this question somehow self-contradictory? On the one hand, eternal life is a kind of inheritance. That means by God's grace alone, we can get the eternal life. But on the other hand, this lawyer said, how shall I do to achieve or to obtain this gift? Let us think this way. In the OT, law is some kind of a term called covenant. The law is a bond between God and man. So eternal life for the lawyer or from the revelation of God is not about the quality of life, but about relationship with God. So let's look at Jesus' reply. And he said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So we see Jesus' wisdom to answer this question. He used what the lawyer knew to reply him. So when the lawyer answered the question, he said our very familiar the answer. He shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This answer comes from the Old Testament law. But, and then Jesus said to him, you do likewise and you can have eternal life. However, the second question of the lawyer shows his self-contradictory again, and shows his deeper motivation. The scripture says he desiring to justify himself. That means he wants to show he is a law keeper. He can do what law requires to achieve eternal life. And you know, but at the same time, he knew that he cannot love after all. He wants to narrow down the scope of the condition, or narrow down the scope of the requirements of law in order that he can fulfill the law. That, in other words, lawyer tried to do a thing. That's he tried to make God's second great commandment more easier or more manageable. That's our situation as well. We find the logic of the lawyers compelling, right? We sometimes do this as well. Let's ask me a question to ourselves. Do you think everybody is lovely? Or do you think everybody is our neighbor? Or we often draw a line or draw a definition by ourselves to confine who is our neighbor and who is not, to ruling out some of us. For example, we will say that this country be ruined by somebody, right? We cannot love this man. Or our nation was destroyed by somebody, so I cannot love this person. But I still love God. I still keep God's commitment. So I can love those who I want to love. And at the same time, I'm a God's people. That's our the lawyer's questions show our heart, show our motivations, and to show our always argue with God, like a student, right? When we attend the school, like my daughter, I asked my daughter to draw three pictures, and then you can sleep. And my daughter says, "How about two? I just draw two pictures, and I go to bed." That's our the same situation with the lawyer. But the answer from the law shows that eternal life is not some kind of condition, some kind of what can do to achieve, but you have to love your God and love your neighbor. That shows eternal life is relationship. It's not just improvement of a quality of life or improvement of the environment or improve. We just moved to United States to get better education, to get more freedom, and get more opportunity to everything, to better food, better quality of air, anything. But eternal life is about relationship with God and with man. That's the Lord told us. And Jesus how Jesus replied the second question to the lawyer, and he said a story. A story is quite famous to all familiar with you, right? There's a story of Good Samaritan. Let's examine some details of this story of the Good Samaritan. Firstly, the story says a man going down from the Jerusalem to Jericho. According to the geography study, that the trip is a long and descending trip. Jerusalem was much higher than Jericho, so it's a going down road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and also it could be very dangerous. So the man's situation, when he going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among the robbers. These robbers strapped his clothes, and beat him and then departed, leaving him half dead. Which means if you don't examine a man very carefully, you don't know he is live or already dead. Okay, so that's so then Jesus said there's two men passed by. One of them is a priest, the other is a Levite. Their reaction is the same. They saw him and then passed by on the other side. So we might ask why they passed by. Both men seem to be guilty of a sin. They failed to save the man's life, right? But they passed the victim by pretending not to notice at all. Why they passed by? Maybe they're in a hurry to get home. They don't want to fall into robber's hand, or they just saw the man was already dead. Here's some Old Testament background. In the Old Testament law, they forbid a man to, especially for a priest or for Levite, to touch a dead body. And who will become ceremonially unclean? And there are costs for the priest and the Levite to take a week long to purification for themselves. So that's a cost. So that's why these two people, they pass by to the victim and pretending not to see him, because they don't want to pay their cost to help him. Likewise, like a lawyer, the priest and the Levite, they justify themselves. They by what? By redefining the scope of the neighbor. They say, "Oh no, this neighbor is not. This man is not my neighbor, because he's unclean. He is not a people deserve to be saved." So, I would ask you, who are you in this story? Are we the priest or the Levite? Or the man? What do you think? At the first place, maybe we think we are a person who want to choose a neighbor to love, right? Like a priest. We pretending we have a right to choose or to define, to discern somebody is deserved to our help or not. But Jesus changed the question. He asked in the final, right, let me see, in the verses 36, he says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Jesus asked a lawyer that you are not the priest or the Levite, but you're the man who fall among the robbers. So we are unable to do good to fulfill the law at all. In other words, Jesus' question is not to ask, the man proved to be a neighbor to these three, which one should be you follow as an example, but Jesus Christ turned the question to this: whose neighbor am I? Okay, let's look at how the third man does, how the Good Samaritan does. Firstly, who is the Good Samaritan? He is the one who are despised. You know, Samaritan are the group of people in the OT. They have a great tension between traditional Jews and Samaritans because of some historical reason, like some in mainland China, might be many people have a great tension or see Japan as an enemy. That's a little similar to that. So in the John chapter 4, verses 9, that read, Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. In the OT, when Jews see the Samaritan, they just see the unclean people, and they avoid to contact with him, like avoid a dead body. So that's an ironic title in this story. It's a good Samaritan. By definition, there's no good Samaritan. Samaritan is no good at all. But at the first place, he is the one who we are despised. And the second place, he's the one who has sacrificed himself. Unlike Levite and the priest, Jesus described his series of action in detail. The good Samaritan see the victim, he saw him, and then went to him, and then bound up his wounds, and then pouring on oil and wine. That's not a close. He set him on his own animals, like we drive a car and pull the man onto our cars, and brought him into an inn. It's a hotel, and took care of him, and accompanied with the victim. That's not enough. He spent the whole night with the victim, and the next day, he took out 2 denarii. The denarii is a costly. It's a money. It's a measurement of a payment. So, what is the 2 denarii? It could pay for 2 weeks' accommodation and the meals. It's quite expensive or such a good amount of money, about more than $3,000 today. He gave these 2 denarii to the innkeeper and saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So that's an example of a good neighbor, right? The good Samaritan, he refused to draw an artificial boundary in order to avoid getting involved. He helped, he not only just helped the victim out of his difficulties, his difficult situations, but also do what he can do to save the people, to recover from the difficult situation. That's, we can see in this story, it's the good Samaritan. He shows a kind of love. This love fulfills the Lord's requirement. Love your neighbors, right? So from this story, we are not the Levite, and we are not the priest. We are not the good Samaritan, because we can't. We cannot earn the eternal life as God's reward unless we love the others in the same way the good Samaritan does. However, this story shows that we are the men who are fall into the robber's hand. But who is the good Samaritan? Let us think this. In the traditional interpretation, Jesus is the good Samaritan. For example, St. Augustine says this, quote, the Lord Jesus Christ means that he was the one who gave help to the man living half dead on the road, beaten and left by the robbers. But I would say Jesus Christ is much greater. He's much better than the good Samaritan. He shows far greater mercy to us than good Samaritans. Firstly, we are not just dying. We are dead in our trespass and the sin in which we once walked. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 4. We're not just dying. We're not just half dead. We are dead person. When we recall our situation before our repent, we have shaped by our environment. So I choose environment to live, to like the environment, how to improve our quality of life. However, we cannot love our neighbor at all, right? We fall into all kind of addictions. And maybe that scripture calls the passion of our flesh. And we might be show our favor to other people, but it just, for example, when we come into a marriage or come into a kind of any kind of relationship, yeah, we hate each other very soon, very quickly. So that's our situation. We're dead in our trespass and sin before our saved. And second, the Good Samaritan was despised by Jews. But how about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was despised by this world, which was made through him. In book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 3, the servant of the Lord, is a type of Jesus Christ. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. In Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10, it reads, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And so it's just our scripture reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. We just read it. Yeah, he's the firstborn over all creation. When he comes to this world, we reject him. We even crucify our Lord Jesus to the cross. That's the second point. Third, the Good Samaritan came by and stopped. He just crossed the road to save the man. However, Jesus Christ came down from the heaven. He traveled a much greater distance to save us. John chapter 1, verse 14 said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from Father, full of grace and truth. He sacrificed in a much greater way than the Good Samaritans. The distance are even out beyond our imagination. You know, what is the great, the most great distance between in this universe? Not the distance between man and woman, no distance between human and animal, no distance between material or our organic creatures, livings, but the most great distance is between God and man. However, our Jesus Christ, he just traveled from this distance to save us. The fourth place, Jesus Christ paid much greater cost than the Samaritans. And the Good Samaritan paid his time, his oil and his wine and his animal, and pay 2 weeks accommodation fee to the man. However, Jesus Christ pay for us is priceless. In Philippians chapter 2, it said he emptied himself, but taking the form of a servant. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's the life of our Son of God. That's priceless, that Jesus paid for us. Finally, in the end of the story, the Samaritan finally left. But Jesus promised to come back and to carry us to the glory. In that, all, you know, from every perspective, Jesus is much greater than the Good Samaritan. So this story is not about the law. It's not about how can we do to improve our moral quality to achieve eternal life. But this story is about gospel. This story is show us our own deeper need for the gospel, for the salvation. So let's come to the third point. How should we respond? At first, we are like the lawyer, argue with God. Can I narrow down the scope of the neighbor to achieve the condition to obtain the eternal life? And finally, Jesus told us, you know, you are the man who fell among the robbers. Who is the robbers? Our own flesh, right? Our own sinful desires and the world. The world full of temptations, full of false teachings, full of that ideologies, everything, and also the evil one. He want to attack the church, attack our faith. So that's the robbers. We live in a world that full of robbers. So we also like the man. He came down from Jerusalem to the Jericho, right? He's a long distance and not only just horizontally but vertically, right? So we fall from our original state. That's our own situation. This parable wish to show us. Therefore, it is Jesus, the true Good Samaritan, save us by paying priceless cost for us. In book of Matthew chapter 20, verses 28, it reads, even as the Son of Man come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is, his love, shown on the cross, completely and perfectly fulfilled the requirements of the law. What's the requirements of the law? That's the, in the beginning we are read, right? Luke chapter 10, verses 27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. That's only the incarnated Son of God, Jesus Christ, fulfill the law, fulfill the requirement of law. So this parable shows us only when we stand upon his grace, we can begin to be alive. We can begin to learn how to love and follow Jesus' pattern, Jesus' example. Therefore, in the end of this story, Jesus said, you go and you do likewise. That is eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gospel, your giving your Son, your only precious Son, Jesus Christ. He paid ransom for us on the cross so that we can live before you today. So we pray for your word and your spirit can continue to renew our mind, to enlighten our mind, to see we are, at first, we are the lawyer. We choose a neighbor to love. We are the priest and we are Levite. We cannot love at all, but argue with God. But finally, we find we are the man fall into the hand of robbers. We need salvation. We need gospel. We thank you for this story, and we pray for your spirit continue to encourage us to see our Lord have conquered. He has already victory over this world. Thank you to be use this story to be with us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.